Welcome to a special episode of Cross Connection Acts, which is basically Thanksgiving episode.
That's right, it's a Thanksgiving special.
Exactly. So we will be thankful that we actually called it Meal 242.
Ooh, oh, wow. 242.
242. So there's 242 different meals that we will have today. Sorry.
All right. But we're going to just take a time, maybe stop examining text line by line today and just get together with our Cross Connection family and just kind of reflect on the season and also the ways that this season connects to what we've been exploring in the book of Acts through three different courses, three different meals, if you will.
Right.
And the first of which is taking a look at Acts 2:42 and looking at this appetizer course of community culture.
So this is our first course, which is basically community culture. So let's go to Acts chapter 2:42. Chapter 2, verse 42. And before we do it, let us pray. And Diego, could you lead us in prayer?
Absolutely. Father in heaven, Lord, we want to thank you so much for the special moment where we stop to give thanks. Mm-hmm. And the special addition also of gratitude, we pray your spirit will descend upon us and give us truly a grateful heart, but also bless everybody else who is watching. Help us to look things through your perspectives and always find reasons to be thankful. Mm-hmm. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay,
Amen.
So Acts 2:42. And Claudia, could you read 2:42?
Yes. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers.
And so this is unique because what we see in the book of Acts, throughout the book of Acts, we see those meals.
Yeah.
In chapter 2, verse 42, chapter 2, verse 46, chapter 6, verses 1, and so forth, chapter 20, 20, 22, throughout.
Absolutely.
You can take my word on it or you can just check it out.
Look it up,
yeah. Look it up, exactly. So we see these meals throughout. So why these meals are so crucial and so important?
I think it's an important thing to remember, you know, because it is something we've talked about a bunch of times. Anyone who's been with us throughout the book of Acts knows we've been talking about this thing of breaking bread over and over, getting together around a table. It's what we literally do here on Cross Connection Act. We want to get together around a table because we see in this book how this incredible bonds are formed in a community that looks so much different than the world surrounding it looks. And it's a powerful thing that maybe we need to keep trying to push ourselves back towards.
Well, the other thing also is that by no means the community of Acts is a perfect community. We have seen there are issues, they're struggling, but this idea of breaking the bread together and they are devoted to it, it means it shows intentionality. And they're crossing different borders of society, of social status, of ethnicity even later on. So they're starting to come together. And let's just be honest, you know, there's nothing better than sitting with somebody around the table to discuss things. And people do open more. They open up more when you have a meal around and people are talking. This is just that what human beings do.
Right.
And I think there's something powerful behind it.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's like we almost need to force ourselves to do it, right? Because it says here they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings.
Yes.
You know, there's something they had to commit to, because that's an interesting thing about Thanksgiving. We always talk about being thankful and gratitude. This is important, but it's also a time of year where you have to sit around a table with people that maybe you don't see all year long, and you have to, you know, you have to talk to your sister's boyfriend that you don't like, or you have to talk to your crazy uncle who has a way different political views than you have, but the table brings you all together, and it's a time that despite all of those differences, you come together, you give thanks, and you spend some time together. We see why it's important.
And it's interesting, even because it's community, they're forming this community, and even the word community, community, it has the word, this very important word, which is unity.
And common.
And common,
common unity. So that's what it is for everybody.
Exactly. Why is it so important to also talk about unity when we talk about community?
Because I think it just goes even back to Sergio's point, right? I mean, like, we all have family members that we don't necessarily always agree with or that we don't necessarily always like. And so I think that communing together in unity kind of just forces you to see one another in a new light. It forces you to see the other person's perspective. And I think there's just something about sitting around at a table that forces you to kind of hear what other people need to say.
Yes.
So that I can at least digest their perspective. Even if I don't agree with it, the table gives me a position to where I can receive it.
What you're saying is extremely important, because so often we don't even listen to the argument of other people, but we just, because we have our own. Right. Yeah. And this is so important because this is the ethics of communication. And this is what the Book of Acts, they actually proclaimed. They strongly were saying you need to be receptive. Listen to this first. Yeah. And then make your own conclusions. Yeah. That's why the Church of Berea, remember the church that we read about in the Book of Acts? The Church of Berea? Yeah. What did they do? They listened to the message of Jesus Christ, and then what did they do? They
searched the scriptures.
Searched the scripture
for themselves.
Because they listened carefully. Yeah. Yeah. How often do we listen carefully to the person who we are sitting and sharing a meal with?
Maybe that's what's so powerful about this, because it is a space where we all have this basic need we're fulfilling. We all got to eat. Mm-hmm. We all got to sustain ourselves, you know? It makes me think of, I don't know if you read the Jungle Book or seen the movies. You know, there's that watering hole. All the animals come to it.
And there's
a special rule. The law of the jungle states you cannot attack each other around that watering hole. And I think it's important for us to create those spaces in our lives too.
Excellent, excellent.
That's good.
The other thing also is that it's kind of funny, but we're not supposed to talk while we're chewing food, right?
So we thought about it, but you
have to listen as you're digesting, eating your food. It's time for you to listen, you know, because otherwise it creates a mess all over the table.
Exactly. Right? You don't want to create that mess.
Hopefully not.
But this is important because the disciples, it wasn't just their idea. It was the idea that actually Jesus seriously just showed an example of this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And let's go to Luke chapter 22. And what do we see in Luke chapter 22? Would you tell me?
It's the Last Supper, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that is the Last Supper. So what do we see? Why is it so important even for Jesus? Why did he take this serious festival of the Passover, unleavened bread, Passover, and then he makes it into the Last Supper? He says, from now on, whenever you take this bread, from now on, whenever you drink of this wine, you will always remember me. Right. And whenever you break bread together, you always remember me. Why is it so important and so crucial?
Well, and again, I think in a simple way is this, that unless you're fasting, every day you have to eat, right? And one of the things we have lost in our society is that family actually sitting around a table together, either in the morning for breakfast or evening for supper, whatever, and actually sitting and talking to each other. People are usually on their phones or watching TV, whatever.
Yeah.
And even the family lose its sense of community. So I think one of the things that Jesus was setting the standards for everybody else is just remember that no matter how different we are, how difficult things can get, the way we see things may be different, but we have one common, we have one purpose, we have one goal. Mm-hmm. And this goal of preaching the gospel or being one together will bring us together, and we will be able to share a meal together. Mm-hmm. In those days, as we have seen so many times before, to share a meal with somebody, it was like intimacy. Mm-hmm. It was trusting. It was, you know, really, all right, I trust you. I invite you to
it's
be my friend.
Thing. Yeah. Yeah.
It's very intimate.
So I would like to encourage us, and you also, our viewers, to actually invite Jesus when you have this Thanksgiving meal.
Yeah.
And let him be the center of your conversation. In what sense? You can talk about absolutely everything, but remember the spirit of Jesus. Remember the spirit, the Holy Spirit is among us.
Yeah. Jesus brought his closest friends together. They shared this intimate meal together and said, guys, do this in remembrance of me.
Yes.
So we got to step out for a bit. But when you have your Thanksgiving dinner, do it in remembrance of Jesus. Come together with your family. We're going to explore how we can do that in other ways as well. We're going to take a very short break, but we will be right back. See you soon. Thank you so much for being around the table with us today here on this special Thanksgiving edition of Cross Connection Acts. And Oleg, right before the break, we were talking about the Lord's Supper, how Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me.
And what is extremely exciting to see what the following line is. So let's read Luke chapter 22, verses 25. So Jesus just finished this Last Supper. They just finished eating. And look what Jesus said. Sergio, could you read these verses?
Yeah.
25 and 26 and 27.
Yes, sir. It says, Jesus said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that.
Amen.
Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Mm. Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves.
Mm. So, you see, this is the prism of the communal sharing of the meal.
Yeah.
Not, okay, go ahead, serve me more. No, let me serve you, because this is what true...
Because someone served us first. We don't serve a benefactor who lords over us and is calling on us to, hey, you got to serve people because I'm telling you to. He served first, and we go, wow, wow, we got to do this and remember this guy. Yeah, I mean, this is an amazing example, Jesus.
So let it be the centerpiece of our tables today. The spirit of service, the spirit of humble attitude, the spirit of generosity.
Absolutely.
And the spirit of love.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, so that wraps up kind of our first course. But now we're going to dig into the entree round, which is a little bit tougher to chew on, so to speak, because there's also this theme. We see this theme of community and sharing and breaking bread together. It's beautiful. But we also see this early group of Christians rejoicing in moments where they suffer the most, or rejoicing over persecution. And it's one of those things that can be maybe misinterpreted, or what are these people? Are they masochists? They love suffering? What's going on
let's
here?
Let's see what is actually happening in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 5, verse 41 and 42. Let's see what is. It's just amazing. So, Claudia, could you read Acts chapter 5, verse 41 and 42?
Sure. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ.
So why?
Three-part question.
I think that the first thing here that I was always amazed by this is that as they're going through persecution, they're not praying for more protection. Mm-hmm. They're praying for boldness, and they're rejoicing over this. Now, thank you, Lord. And as a minister, I have encountered several instances in which people came to me and said, Pastor, I lost my husband. My daughter was 3 years old. Or I've lost my child. He was only 5 years old. Mm-hmm. And somebody at the funeral told me that I should rejoice and be glad because this is the will of the Lord. Oof. This is God's plan for my life. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I know there may be thousands of people watching this right now and wondering, should I be thankful for my cancer? Should I be thankful for my disease? Mm-hmm. And I always say, the Bible tells us to be thankful in everything. But you don't necessarily need to be thankful for everything. If you're supposed to be thankful for everything, you're supposed to be thankful for sin. I mean, should we be thankful for death?
Very important, yeah.
Should we be thankful for drug addictions, for murder?
Absolutely
rape,
not.
For murder? Of course, this is sinful.
Because it's evil.
It is evil. It's ludicrous to think you have to be thankful for those things. However, when we have a greater perspective, what God is doing in our lives and what He's going to do in the end, and then we can always find ways to be thankful in everything.
Well,
thankful in persecution, whatever it is, we know that we can always find something to hold on to.
And there's always a qualifier in here when we see that they suffered. It was always suffering disgrace for the name. Paul says it later on in Acts, because this is the first, these are some of the 12 here that we're reading about in the passage we just read. But then Paul is willing to suffer and die for the name of Jesus. And it's interesting to look at it that way, because then we lose some of the, we kind of get back on track, because you're right, Diego, there's other ways to look at it. I was reading the other day, someone said as a child, his grandma would put bottle caps in his shoes, so every day as he walked around, he could suffer and pay penance for the sins he was going to commit that day.
Oh my goodness.
And so that just gives you a really messed up view of God and what we're reading about here. But really, when we look at it through the prism of Jesus, then we start to understand that the disciples understood that moments of persecution are the prime opportunity to live out the teachings of Jesus and ultimately the example he showed on the cross.
Absolutely.
And I mean, you know, the Bible says that we are going to experience suffering, right?
Yeah, yeah.
If Christ experienced suffering, then we are going to experience suffering.
Uh-huh. Right.
And I think what's beautiful is that what we see in Acts is we see this building of community, because it is in community that we can endure suffering.
Yes.
Right?
And
when I'm by myself, suffering is much harder to endure and persevere through.
Yeah.
But when I've got my Christian body, my community that of faith that is supporting me, then I can endure persecution and suffering with them.
Yeah, because evil is the reality of this world. So it's just, unfortunately, we cannot hide from it. But what Paul will be saying later in First Thessalonians 5 and as well as Philippians chapter 4, he would say, rejoice always and in everything.
In everything.
Yeah. In everything. In the midst of everything.
Mm-hmm. So even in the midst spite of everything.
In spite of, even I'm not rejoicing that I'm being persecuted.
Yeah. Right.
I'm just rejoicing because I'm in the Lord.
Right. Right.
I'm persecuted with the Lord.
Right.
I'm persecuted just as the Lord.
Because of the Lord.
Because of the Lord, exactly.
What an honor it is, because what happened is this, that everybody wants to be happy. And that's just a fact.
Yes.
But how many of us will be sitting and hiding in our little caves if we lived in a country where it is not popular or it's prohibited to be a Christian. Right. So Paul was living those times, and he said, I'm accounted as worthy of to be persecuted by the Lord. Well, I mean, this is reason for me to celebrate. And, and it's hard for us to grasp this concept because we are not in that type of context
yet. But I would like to talk about micro persecutions.
micro
persecutions. Okay. Mm-hmm. So because what we are not persecuted because we proclaim the name of Jesus.
Yeah, sure, but there's micro ones.
But micro persecutions. And I feel that I'm being persecuted because I'm bullied, for instance. Or I feel that I'm persecuted because I have this depression. I feel this persecution because I see that nobody understands me.
Or so I'm overweight, or I'm too short, too slim. Whatever.
Or I'm overwhelmed. Yeah. So it's, and this all is persecution, micro persecution. And Jesus says, and Jesus, as well as what Paul will repeat and everybody else, even in the midst of those micro persecutions, you can find those pockets of happiness.
But Jesus promised it. I think about the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes. I was like, blessed are you who mourn because you'll be comforted.
And this is important.
You'll be comforted by God. You'll be comforted by this amazing community that is building around you if you choose to take part in it. And it's an amazing promise.
And there's something else. In my life, I went through a lot of hardships financially, I mean, emotionally. I mean, you can name it. People went through much harder. But what I went through. And even the Bible says, James says, you know, sometimes you go through difficult times right here, right now. But when you come out on the other side, you come out stronger. As we say, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Right.
And we believe that God may not have planned your suffering, but he has planned for your suffering, meaning that he will give you the ways out of it. And by the time you are pruned through the fire, it will become stronger and better and more confident in his word.
Yeah, and I think not only that, he gave us a message that equips us for the perfect way to respond to the trials of the world. He says, pray for those who persecute you.
Correct.
He says, love your enemies, which sounds insane. And maybe I wouldn't be able to do it unless I had a community of people that helped support me in order to do that. But we see in the book of Acts, when these people respond in that way, people's lives are transformed.
Absolutely.
Roman jailer who goes from whipping people is now inviting him to his house and accepting Jesus in his life. And on and on and on we see when people respond with love to persecution and violence, incredible transformation happens.
Nice. And this is exactly what we will see next when we come to our third course, when we will talk about the mindset, the change of the mindset that help us to live a different life. And that different life actually presents and becomes this martyrdom, and martyrdom which means basically the presentation and the gospel, the delivery of the gospel to the world. Okay, we will continue our discussion after the break. Welcome back to Cross Connection. So we just talked. We just had our first meal, which is basically appetizer, first course, and then entree. Exactly. Yeah. So we talked about community culture. Then we talked about rejoicing in the middle of suffering, not for the suffering, because God doesn't want us to suffer.
Right.
He wants us to rejoice.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And be happy. And then we come to the third, which is basically the dessert, and the dessert is very important.
Yeah.
Very important.
It's an important meal.
It's an important meal. Exactly.
The icing on the cake.
You can't have Thanksgiving without apple pie or something.
Oh, yeah. Right? Pumpkin pie. Yeah. Or,
and make sure to put a lot of whipped cream. Okay. So anyway, so we will talk about transformation and the mindset that Jesus actually wants us to experience.
Yeah.
So, and the word transformation, Jesus actually talked about it quite frequently. It's repentance.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Repentance. Not just Jesus, but John the Baptist and his disciples also.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So why repentance? And what is this? Metanoia.
Yeah, well, that's you've answered your own question. From the beginning of Cross Connection Acts, we've seen that this word repentance, we've been hammering it, that the Greek word is metanoia, which doesn't mean to just pay penance or suffer or whatever. It means to change your mind.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And we see a gospel of people whose minds are changed throughout the book of Acts. And we continue to see this book challenge us to change our minds in ways that we need to change. Mm-hmm.
And I think the topic of Thanksgiving is so powerful because gratitude changes everything. Just do a survey of people in the world. There are people who are suffering. People went through huge amounts of stress. But you start to find out those who are thankful and those who are always complaining. I can guarantee those who are thankful, they are better off in life.
Their longevity.
The longevity and, I mean, family. Because, again, thankfulness, thanksgiving, and gratitude gives a different perspective in the long haul. As you said, Claudia, we are going to have trials and tribulations no matter what. But the way I perceive myself and I said, okay, today I can either complain about this, and that, or I can have a different perspective. I remember when I came into this country, even before, I was learning English back in England, and I thought, people don't pay attention to me because I have an accent. And then I finally, somebody said, no, you don't get this, Diego. People actually pay attention to you because you have an accent. So that was a whole different ballgame to me, a different perspective. From at one point, instead of being complaining about accents or whatever, blaming everybody else for my situation, I began to be thankful for the very things God had given me. And that changes everything.
And thankfulness really is a fruit of the Spirit, right?
Absolutely.
It's something that we can't produce on our own, the spirit of gratitude. And so particularly when we live in an individualistic society, it's like, to be able to think about the things that I'm grateful for, the things that I'm thankful for, is to inevitably actually put myself into relationship with somebody else.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And so I think that a lot of times we need to push ourselves to actually experience this transformation that the Holy Spirit wants to do in us, because when the Holy Spirit actually transforms us, we then kind of move our mindset, like you were talking about, from that space of individualism into community, so that I can be grateful for the things.
Absolutely. So there are two options. Number one is to surrender yourself fully to Jesus and say, change my heart and just see and live with him. And then we will have the spirit of gratitude. But sometimes what happens, we just feel that we are complainers. I mean, sometimes I realize that I'm a complainer. What I need to do, I need to say, you know what? Let me do this now, today. Yeah. Well, I'll just practice it today. So what I'll do, I'll just find a way to be thankful.
Something.
So find a way to be, thankful today.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Find a way to be thankful for the amount of meal that you have.
The amount of leaves we have on the table or anything.
Exactly.
It is a mindset, and you have to almost learn to have your mind change. I think of Paul's famous quote in Philippians 4:12, where he says, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. So it's not about changing your situation that you can be more thankful. It's about changing, learning to change your mind so that you can be thankful no matter if you're in plenty or in want.
But I have also personally experienced in my life that the times in which I was complaining and blaming everybody else for my predicament, situation, or whatever, I did not move forward at all.
It doesn't get you anywhere.
So if there's anybody there, it's Thanksgiving and you're sitting there on your couch watching this, blaming everybody else for your life, stop doing
this. It just doesn't work. Even outside of any moral reason, let's forget the moral reasons. Yeah. It just doesn't work. It's ineffective.
Complaining gets you nowhere, but if you don't mind, let me just share something about what Claudia shared. You know, being thankful about what God has given us, the sense of community. Because around Thanksgiving, we can be thankful for, I'm thankful for my clothes, I'm thankful for my little iPad or my phone. You can do all of those things. But be thankful for people in your life. Yeah. Be thankful for your parents. If you don't have parents, somebody was there for you, a foster home. Be thankful for people. Because in the end of the day, things will be gone, will be forgotten. A brand new will come up, and this is going to be older. It's already old, but it's going to be even older. But your people, your friends who are sitting around the table, they may be gone one day, but they still live within your heart, and you will always remember them. There's nothing more greater than being thankful for the people who share the meal with you.
And you know what's great, too? I think a lot of times it's easy for us to be thankful for the things that we see God doing in our lives, and it's harder to be thankful for the things that we don't see God doing.
Yeah,
and in the story of Job, we see that the Lord took so much from him, but the devil said to God, he said, the only reason that he praises you is because you have a hedge of protection around him.
Yes.
And so that means that the devil tried to attack him before, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
And so there are times when, yes, it's difficult, the suffering and the things that we're going through are hard, but at the same time, that is also evidence. There is also evidence that the devil has tried things at us before that didn't work out.
Yeah.
And so we can be thankful to God for the things that didn't get through.
Yeah. And that is exactly the reason why we see throughout the book of Acts, the Gospel of Acts, what we see is just this repentant heart is so important.
Right.
Because when your heart is willing to change, when your heart is willing to say, you know what, I will stop complaining now, from now on.
But then who is doing the change? You're open to it, but there is a God that wants to create that change in your life, which is so encouraging. When you think that there is a God who believes in you, if you're down on yourself, if you think if you're complaining or you're just feeling down and like you wish that you could do more or be more or whatever, there's a God that believes in you and can and wants to transform you Mm-hmm. It's an amazing thing to think, you know what, even if I don't believe in myself right now, I'm going to at least open myself to the possibility that there's a God who believes in me and can radically transform.
And that is the reason why Apostle Paul and all the disciples, they preached Jesus, yes, who died and was resurrected.
Amen.
Yes. Because right, he was resurrected, we can also be resurrected.
Yeah.
And that's why it's all, you can experience this new,
yes,
life,
right,
because he resurrected and he is with you,
right,
today.
Which is why Paul, people like Paul, for instance, are so bold about, like, guys, I don't want to talk about my past life. I really, mm-hmm, did some messed up stuff. Mm-hmm. And he was always saying, I was the worst. Yeah. I persecuted God. But look, yeah, what Jesus did for me.
Yeah.
You know, and that can be such a powerful example to say, wait, I do remember Paul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was trying to kill people all over the place. Yeah. Now look at him. And that can be the most kind of example, a witness to people, to show that this God is real and he can change your life.
It is real.
Yeah.
And I used to be an atheist, and I love debating about God and everything else.
Yeah.
And God changed my heart. He changed Paul's, and I changed all of our hearts. And I have seen really bad people becoming great leaders for God. He, mm-hmm, can change,
yeah,
us completely. And again, I think this theme of Thanksgiving, it's powerful. Because when we start having grateful, mm-hmm, hearts, everything changes.
And that's why it's so important to realize the community and unity within the community. Then it's also important to remember, rejoice in the midst of suffering. And that repentant heart is so important. This metanoia, the change of mind, is so
important. This was amazing. Thank you so much for joining us. We just love and appreciate everyone here at this table so much. And for those of you watching at home, there's so much to be grateful for and thankful for in this season. But as we say goodbye, we just want to say here from the Cross Connection family how much we love and appreciate and are thankful for you,
amen,
for watching, for growing in the Word along with us. If we've been transformed, we just want to wish you and your family and loved ones a blessed and happy Thanksgiving. See you next time.